I'm with Steve Evans at Champion. How does it feel?
Well, it's been the most wonderful season. It's been incredible, and we're very, very fortunate to be here this evening and in front of so many wonderful football clubs and chairmen like yourself and managers, and it's a real proud moment for us all.
What was the, if you, forgetting Old Trafford and obviously actually winning the title, what was the real big highlight during the league campaign for you?
I think two things that immediately come to mind. I think winning away at Luton at Kenilworth Road when we scored in the last few minutes to win. I think that sent a statement to Luton and to Wimbledon that we were for real, because it was early days. And I can recall Terry Brown and Rich and Money both saying that they felt that we had a difficult trip when we went to Fleetwood, and we beat them 2-1. And to be fair to Mickey Mellon's boys, they put us through the mill for the last 20 minutes, but we did indeed get the 3 points. And the day we drove out of Fleetwood, I knew we'd win the title.
It seems like everyone that's gone up has either stayed up or gone up again. How confident are you for next season?
Well, I think in realistic terms, we'd like to compete for the playoffs. I think that's realistic. I think to think of going automatically straight up is perhaps demeaning to the clubs that's already up there. I think we're faced with taking on the likes of Bradford City and Swindon and Plymouth Argyle and some real big clubs. But the one thing that the Blue Square Bet Premier and everyone in non-league can be assured of is we're going to go up there and we're going to play the right way, we're going to get the ball down, and we're going to, you know, fight for everything we can do. But the playoffs is the objective. Promotion would be a dream.
A lot is obviously made of the financial backing that you have. What are the real medium term targets for Crawley Town Football Club?
I think quite realistically the target is to be in League One. I mean, the owners made it quite clear last summer that they had a 3 to 4 year plan to get to League One, and they made some funds available. But I think a lot gets made of the fact that we've probably spent some money on transfer fees and bringing good players in. But I think in the other token, there is undoubtedly, possibly in the conference, 3 or 4 other clubs that have spent, in terms of totality, more than Crawley have. We've just had the available monies to spend it up front, so we can buy a player as opposed to maybe taking a player on a free transfer from a higher league that maybe is unproven for what we're trying to do. So the medium term is to be in League One. Whether we as a management team are good enough to do it remains to be seen, and whether our selection of players is good enough remains to be seen.
What's the infrastructure like? Is it developing off the field in terms of the youth and sustainability for the future? If for any reason in the medium term money does dry up?
Well, I think if the money dries up, the one thing that the football club will continue, because we probably have and we will probably operate mid-table in terms of in League Two in terms of ongoing operating costs, because we do it in a different way to others. But we've put a full youth programme in situ 2 years ago. We're developing that now, and the objective, of course, like every other club, is to get 3 or 4 players from your youth team into your first team. But as the big boys in the Premier League know and the Championship know, it's very difficult to find that talent that's good enough, because every chairman like yourself wants success today.
If we talk a bit about the division that you're leaving, who do you think are the standout players that are left in the division? You know, up front, midfield, defence, goalkeeper.
Well, I think there's a number. I think almost if you go through it in a system point of view, I think Tyler at Luton, he's a lad I know particularly well, as a friendly person socially as well. He's Mark Tyler is as good as the gets. I think games are always won at this level, Imran, with the strikers. I think they're the key. That you've got one in the boy Marner, who's different class. I think it'll be interesting to see how Brody does up at Fleetwood, and it'll be interesting to see what Luton Town do. I mean, I'm probably waiting like everyone else to see if they go into the transfer market and sign 2 or 3. But there's a host of individually very, very gifted players in the conference, but it's very, very difficult to put a team of them together that gives you promotion.
Why has Brody gone to Fleetwood?
Well, Richard Brody struggled to settle from day one. He was, he lost his dad at a fairly young age when he was 5 or 6 years old, and his mum brought him up, and he came away. And listen, Richard Brody still plays Skeletrics, and he's 23. You know, that's not knocking the kid. He's been, in many respects, unfortunate. He lost his dad, and I've lost my dad, he lost his very young. It's so unfortunate, but he's also had a very privileged background. He's got grandparents that dote on every word he says and every step he makes, and a wonderful mother. But I think he's come away from home, and he's not been able to live and get on with his life the way a professional footballer should. And he's had distractions and various things that's come across his little life when being away from home. So he's gone to Fleetwood, in our opinion, a club that will challenge at the top end. And a club that can afford them, and a club that's going to sign good players. And Richard Brody will score goals if he's settled. He just wasn't settled at our place.
So your predictions for next season in the Conference Premier?
I think the whole world is shouting Luton Town. I'm not so sure. I think certainly Fleetwood will have a point to prove. I certainly think that Darlington may have a point to prove. I think you always look at the clubs that are relegated. Maybe one of them will have a point to prove. I don't think it'll be Stockport. I think they've got some problems up there. And you look at York City with Gary Mills, the run they had, and the Kidderminster. I think they might be a playoff side. I'm not so sure they could be the champions. So if you put me on the spot as to who could win it, I possibly have to say Fleetwood.
If you were starting with a clean slate in terms of squad, and you were at a club, what sort of budget do you think a club needs to be challenging for the title?
Well, people can believe it or they don't believe it, but under Bruce Winfield, we had a budget of £380,000 and we finished seventh. And Bruce Winfield called myself and Paul Rayner the miracle workers for doing that on that budget. I think you certainly need to be around seven figures if you're going to win it. And I think others have proven that, what would it take to make the playoffs if you, Steve Evans and Paul Rayner, were getting interviewed at 450 to 500,000, they'll put you in the playoffs comfortably. And, if you don't make the playoffs on that budget, then you should be getting a phone call from people like yourself to say you've just got on the dole, because football, whatever anyone says, will always and ultimately be a results business at every level. And if you take the budget and you take the resources that the people like yourself, Imran, who work extremely hard to put money into the game, and we've got owners that work extremely hard, and if you get the resource, you have to win it. We got fantastic backing, but we win the league by 15 points, and we went to Old Trafford in the FA Cup, and we've made the club a vast amount of profit. But arguably you could say the owners have done that, because they've allowed us to have the funds to sign the players we wanted. But it's I would just love to see some other owners come forward and give the management team the backing that we've had, and just see if they can go and deliver it. It'll be harder than they think. We found Scott Shearer not getting a game at Wrexham, Kuipers bombed at Brighton, Dean Hill on trial everywhere, McFadgen at Alfreton, Pablo Mills in disarray coming out of Rotherham, Matt Tubbs, everyone looked at him, no one signed him, no one went and put a decent offer to Salisbury. So we look at all those things and we think, well, we put our money where our thoughts and our conviction was, but we also knew that if we hadn't delivered, we'd have been on the dole by Christmas.
I suppose all the questions are generally aimed around the top of the table, especially with what you've achieved and what you've been doing. But if we talk about teams at the other end, obviously there's some teams that have come up. How do you think they're going to fare?
I think the surprise package of them all, who may do better than most, will be Braintree. It's the biggest pitch in the world. We went there pre-season a couple of years ago and lost. It's an unusual pitch. I'm not so sure they've done the right thing losing the manager, and Rob Strong, I think he's a good manager, and he went in there and he they were never pretty to watch. They didn't get the ball down to make 20 passes, but they had them organised, they had them efficient, and probably from a Crawley perspective, you wouldn't look forward to playing them in a cup tie. He's gone, so you're hoping if that continues, if you're a Braintree fan, that they may do particularly well. But you know, and I know, and every league, Kidderminster were a surprise package last year and how well they really did. I think there'll be always surprises. I think Braintree could be the ones coming up, but I think, you know, Rushton's demise, it's a sad day for football seeing Rushton go out of business, and I don't think that could be said more emphatically that it's just a real, real sad day. It may, however, be Kettering Town's game if they could take that stadium. They've got you as an ambitious chairman who's in the past put the money in. I think you've been quick to pull it out when you've not been happy. That happens in the Premier League. Just go and look at Mr. Abramovich. If he's happy, he backs it unbelievably. If he's not happy, he shuts the shop up. And that goes on in football. But so I think there's yourselves. Listen, I think the title will come down to three or four teams. I think the relegation is pretty much set. There'll be six or seven teams that we could name now who will battle for it.
There are a lot of clubs that, maybe because of the economy at the moment and the climate, don't have the benefactors and are looking at doing things on a more sustainable level. So with gates of around, you know, 1,000 to 1,500, really the budgets, you know, need to be in the, you know, mid 200s or, you know, early 300,000s. How would you feel if you had a budget like that in terms of being able to avoid a relegation battle? Do you think that's the enough? I mean, how would you feel if you were given that challenge?
Well, I think your challenge is, you mean, your board of directors control the finance, don't they? Your chairman controls the budget. I've always had a relationship with various directors, whether it be Bruce Winfield or, you know, or the Carter family, and they set the finances and you work to them. For 380,000 we finished seventh. For 300,000 we'd have been mid-table all day long. I think you have to work hard to go and find the players, and you have to go on the training ground with them, and you have to get them organised, and you have to get them structured, and you need one or two match winners, you know, and you always need a player that can do something quite special and put the ball in the net, because it's the hardest thing to do in football.
There seems to have been some excellent managers that have done some great things, you know, in recent years, from the conference, obviously Graham Wesley, yourself. Doesn't seem like people are getting the opportunities to manage, you know, obviously Mark got the opportunity to manage at Peterborough. But why do you think the successful managers from the conference are not getting the big opportunities?
Well, I think the best way I can summarise that is we drew Swindon in the FA Cup, and I went to watch them play away at Notts County. And I can vividly recall at the end of that game where Swindon lost a late goal, is one of the main directors at Swindon Town said, "Oh, look, chaps, there's that Crawley team that we're playing in the FA Cup in 2 weeks' time. They sort of are doing okay, aren't they? We fancied ourselves to beat them, and they thought we're doing okay." I think that's just how non-league perhaps and the Football League is perhaps received, or perceived is a better word, that they think that it's not so good. The Blue Square Bet Premier is a fantastic competition, and 50% of the teams could grace League 2 quite comfortably.
Obviously you won the award for Manager of the Year, and well deserved. If you were to pick out a manager that you think is destined for great things, that's currently in the Premier, maybe one, maybe two managers that have that potential to be given an opportunity at a higher level and succeed, can you give me one or two names and reasons why? Because obviously you interact a lot with the managers and you probably have an insight.
Well, I think Mickey Mellon at Fleetwood, he's had probably more promotions than I've had breakfast this week. He's had four or five promotions with a good chairman. So I think Mickey will think if he goes up tactically and professionally, he could work the Oracle and the Football League. And I think you must look at somebody you've employed, like Mark Cooper, who's gone up to a good level at Peterborough United, fantastic club, and it never worked for him. And Mark will be doubly or trebly determined to make sure that his Darlington side perform. And if they can, his career blossoms. If they don't, perhaps people will think he's failed. So there's some good managers in there. Yeah, I could name I can name numerous that I have